on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, Shay here, On Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 32. First Music History Boil Down for March 30th. In 2013, U.S. producer and pioneer of digital recording, Phil Ramone, died age 79. At his death, Ramone was one of the most successful producers in history, winning 14 Grammy Awards and working with stars such as Ray Charles, Bob Dylan, Elton John, and Paul McCartney. And happy birthday to Eric Clapton, MC Hammer, Celine Dion, Norah Jones, and Tracy Chapman. Today, Kurt Brow Obels joins us. Kerr is a southeastern UK-based alternative artist. He is a multi-instrumentalist and producer, songwriter, singer, and guitarist, known for his pure voice, intelligent lyrics, and powerful stage presence. Welcome, Kerr.
Hello. I hope this is being played with an applause track right now. I hope there's a little applause going in the background. I don't really stand for anything else.
It should be fine. It's awesome that you were able to spend some time and get to know your music and you. So I've listened to three of the tracks of the upcoming EP that will be due out at some point. To me, it's like a concept album, eh?
I mean, there's like parts of a concept album in it. The EP is going to be called Bon Voyeur, which is your little exclusive there. I've not confirmed that yet, but I think that's what I'm going with. I chose that name because it sounds a lot like Bon Voyage, so I love a little bit of wordplay. And it means like good watcher, or good watching. A lot of the time I feel like I'm just sort of watching the world happen. I'm sort of noting it down.
Yeah, I saw that on one of the tracks you sent me pre-show, and I thought it was a cool name. So how did you get to this point in music? Like, what started your interest in music, and particularly goth?
They're very different points. What got me to where I am now is good looks, I think. That's about all I've got. I got into music through comedy songs, kind of ironically. Like, I was listening to a lot of Tenacious D, Stephen Lynch, Kevin Bloody Wilson, just like, is this the way to Amarillo? Proclaimers and stuff like that, just like little novelty songs. I just thought they were really cute. And then I was always into like musical theatre and sick, like performing stuff. And then when I'd done music at secondary school, they gave me the option to take up an instrument, and singing was full. So I thought, okay, I'll learn guitar and become Tenacious D. But unfortunately, I discovered punk. And that sort of ruined my musical taste for a while.
When was that?
That was when I was 14, so about 2009.
And you've been in that space musically ever since?
No, I went through quite a few transitions. I got into punk, like the Ramones and the Undertones and stuff like that. And then I discovered my dad's Susie and the Banshees Nocturne live album. I was like, okay, this has got to be like punk. Might as well listen to this. And it was just so different. I heard Night Shift, just like how the guitar was really jarring and like created a mood. How did this happen? Where did this all come from? and then I found The Cure and Joy Division and all the stuff after that. I was like, okay, music can be really, really dark. That's great. What can I do with this? And then I found a load of psychedelic stuff through the Doors and Brian's Jonestown Massacre.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And so
went from there.
You had a punk band in university when you were achieving your master's degree in music, right?
Yeah, rather ashamed to say it, yeah.
Talk about it. It's Turtle Circles, right?
Turtle Circles, yeah. I just wanted to get a band together. I had another band at the time called Bell Addiction, which is a way better name. But I got a few friends together before, okay, we're really cool. We're music students. Let's start a band. We went through quite a few drummers and no one was really putting any effort into it besides me. And I was getting us loads of gigs and all the payment. And it was just like, why am I doing this? I could just carry it on by myself and get all the money from it, basically. And yeah. I don't have to worry about rehearsing with a load of people. And I got so sick of punk, to be honest. It's the same chords, it's the same feelings going into it every time. So I thought I'd just go off, do my own thing, try something new.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I prefer either a blend of two different styles of music rather than a straight punk. And it's good for a night out. It's good for a night out. But when you were in that band, didn't you work with a progressive gothic rock band, Sweet Ermengarde?
Yeah, I did get a bit of a gift of getting to play with them. They're quite a big goth band, but that was still just sort of through my connections rather than them actually liking my music.
Yeah.
I'm just really good at talking to people, I think.
So when you went solo, talk about that. What was the experience? Because it's completely different.
Oh, it's a release.
Is it a release? Okay,
it was
cool.
Great.
Yeah, creativity or everything?
Yeah, I got to open up things a little bit more. The only thing that I ever really needed from other people was for them to play the chords while we were live, but I would be writing all the music in the meantime anyway. Mm-hmm. And because there were other people, I thought, okay, I won't write your part or tell you what to do here, because you're a drummer, you're a piano player, you know what you're doing, surely. Some of them did.
Yeah.
And some of them I just had to sort of direct through. And when I got Logic myself and I could just start playing the piano parts and programming all the drumming, and took some time to actually figure out what chords I actually want to use with things, it really opened me up to what I can do with music. Like, you can see it quite a lot in History of Violence. Like, that song's like a whole story in just the music itself put the lyrics over the top.
Definitely. It's an amazing song.
Oh, thank you.
I was listening to it just this morning. Actually,
oh, I'm sorry
again.
To hear that.
You're getting streams on me because I keep listening to all your music. but it's incredible, and that'll be the first track we listen to, and it's amazing the amount of detail you go to in building a song. It's insane.
Well, if you got a master's degree, you might as well put it to use.
Well, you definitely did. And we're going to talk about that when we talk about He Doesn't Deserve You. I'm blown away by it. I'm blown away.
Thanks. I'd still trade all the music I have to write The Laughing Gnome.
Yeah. You've also written a soundtrack for an award-winning indie movie.
Yeah, that was less of a soundtrack and more me banging a load of instruments and seeing what sounds I can create from it. I was in France on a uni trip, and I got a gig at a pub just because I was a little bit bored. We went out for the night. I found a gig and I started talking to this student that was out there. He was saying about how he's he's a film director. I was like, that's cool. I've always wanted to do horror movie soundtracks. And he was like, oh my God, I have a horror movie. Let me send it to you. See what you can do. I think it's called Perform. I haven't watched it for a while now. It's about some guy having a sort of brain snap, like Eraserhead style.
Yeah.
I just sort of played around with as much discordant stuff as I could. And he said it was too musical, so I had to rewrite everything.
What? Too musical? A music track too musical?
I was still used to all the structures that are in music, so
yeah.
I was in D Dorian or something like that. It's like, why does this sound good? I was like, I don't know. I'm trying to do like Danny Elfman stuff. He went, no, make it a bit more John Cage. So yeah, I did.
So he was trying to put creative handcuffs on you.
I mean, limitations are probably one of the most important things you can have in music. Like, yeah. if you restrict yourself to just being an A chord in a song, you'll find lots of different things that you can do with that being an A. Whereas if you've got all of the chords, then you're just sort of in a paradox of choice of what do I put over this.
We're going to jump ahead to the second track and just talk about it. He Doesn't Deserve You. You tune the guitar using Placebo's unusual guitar tuning and tuning it up a semitone each to make the guitar more jangly. Why?
Do you mean the actual guitar tuning, or do you mean the BPM sort of messing around that I did? Yeah, I've been getting a lot of flack for that. Because I've been booked for a gig in April. I think that's really hopeful, but, you know, it's happened. So I decided to get a little band together to just to have more musicians playing, because it's either just me playing by myself and there's plenty of really good musicians who want the chance to perform again. So I thought I'd do them a favour and let them play my music. And the guitarist that I got in hates the tuning because it's just like one step off. It's one semitone up and the high E tuned down to a C sharp. So it's got like a unison ring with the B string. But the track's also sped up by 5 BPM from when I recorded it. So it's a couple of cents off from a natural tuning.
To re-record the song or to record it as you plan?
Yeah, so he can't practice along with it properly at home because it all sounds wrong. And he can't practice to it anyway because he hates the tuning and he can't figure out what the hell he's meant to be playing. I've shown him a few times. We're getting it down, getting it together. But we've gone through it a few times and we're just sort of waiting for the studio to open up again to go through it. Oh, no, this is just to play it during the gig in April. The song's recorded and out there, and I'm kind of done with it. I've got more songs that I need to start getting on with.
So let's talk about who you admire, David Bowie, Placebo, The Cure. You also mentioned something about Meatloaf in your bio.
I do love a bit of Meatloaf. Meatloaf was probably one of the first musicians I really got into. Michael Jackson was the first. I've still got Smooth Criminal. And then Meatloaf, I just loved how sort of epic he made his music. Like, it was not a simple single pop song. It was, you were there and you were getting the full experience, like sitting at a rock opera on every single track. And you didn't care if 5-6 minutes gone.
No, I agree with you. You didn't care the length of a song. Have you ever seen him in concert?
I've watched live videos on YouTube and stuff like that, but and I do a damn good impression of it.
I saw him in concert.
Ooh, all right, show off.
Yeah, he's insane. He's insane.
I know the effort he puts into it.
Seeing him alive, like, think about it. See the energy on YouTube in his videos.
Yeah,
and you put him in a live show. It's it was a great night. I mean, I forget who he was headlining for. It could have been Queen, but I'm probably wrong. I've been to so many rock concerts, I mix them up after a while. tell you the truth. No, because I remember on Facebook, I said, oh, yeah, I went to Meatloaf, and they fronted for Queen, and my girlfriend who went to the concert with you said, you're wrong, and I forget who she told me it was, but it was some other band. But it was an incredible show.
I always say, if you can remember a night, you didn't enjoy it enough anyway.
Oh, that's a good saying. That should be a quote. You should publish that, man.
Yeah, I'll stick it on a shirt at some point.
So tell me about the track we're going to hear next, A History of Violence.
Okay, so this is another part of the EP that I wrote at university. Like, He Doesn't Deserve You and A History of Violence sort of, they go into each other. History of Violence was the third track on the EP, and He Doesn't Deserve You was the fourth. I've kind of Star Wars this up a little bit. And History of Violence sort of deals with the relationship of this completely terrible, dysfunctional couple. Like, they're drug addicts, they're constantly fighting and bickering and just being horrible to each other, but there's still that semblance of love still in them, and they don't really know anything else. So, and it's not really on other people to tell that couple whether they're in love or not, because you can still be really violent and love someone at the same time. I'm not like condoning like spousal abuse. It's a terrible thing, and like, there's got to be a helpline. If you experience it, get a helpline or something like that. This is completely fictional. It's just like, you know, the parents in South Park, Kenny's parents, mm-hmm. they are constantly fighting and they're always angry at each other, but they're obviously staying together for a reason. Like, they still love each other and want to be with each other, but there's just this whole sort of contrasting dynamic of violence in the relationship, and it can take both sides.
Well, if you take the violent context out of it, because basically creative storytelling of a dysfunctional relationship, regardless of whether there's violence in there, because a lot of people are in dysfunctional relationships forever.
Yeah.
Like, so you can anybody listening to the song can relate to it.
Yeah.
Can relate to it.
I hope not.
And violence, violence comes in many forms.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, I think people get a lot out of it. And your artistic rendition of that horrible situation is well done.
Sure. If they do relate to it, though, please seek help. Yeah. These are fictional characters. Yeah. You're not meant to relate to them.
Well, I do notice on your site, I do notice on your website that you are very clear about that. And you also put the helplines for domestic abuse.
I just don't want people
there.
Thinking it's okay. Like, it's totally not.
Yeah, definitely. So next up, we're going to listen to A History of Violence, released February of this year.
Sweet.
So how is the track being received on radio or locally?
Generally by email.
Pardon me? Oh, God, man. I just got that joke. I forgot you're a Scorpio, man. I forgot. I, you know what? For a second there, I clued out and I forgot your sense of humor. Okay. Yes. That was a good one.
We'll cut you one up
me. You're one up me. Okay. So it hasn't received radio play.
Yeah. It. Everyone that I've sent it to seems to have liked it so far. If they didn't, they haven't told me. Except one person who is very honest with me. I had a couple of reviews come back in, and people are generally liking the sort of hypnotic theme that's going on throughout the song, and they sort of appreciate what I'm doing with it. But it is quite monotonous. If you're not ready to sit down and listen to it, you're probably not going to enjoy it. Which is fair.
It's a heavy topic. You said, one of the public comments, you said it's a very adult contemporary and takes serious listening to be enjoyed. And yeah. I would agree with you.
It sounds a little bit stuck up my own ass up there, but I like adult and contemporary music. Like there was that Sting song, the desert song, the one about Adam and Eve traveling through the desert, that's got a lot of South Asian influence to it. Is it South Asian? I can't remember the name. Desert Rose. The song Desert Rose. Like, that's the song you have to listen to really appreciate it.
Well, those are the songs that end up becoming classes, Cor.
Yeah. If I ever become a university professor, I'll probably teach my own songs in the class.
Yeah.
It's free publicity, isn't it?
Well, with a master's degree, you're not far off from teaching music at a university.
Yeah, I thought about taking it on to PhD. Then COVID happened, and I've sort of took the time to realise academia is really annoying. Like, there's a lot of red tape and boundaries that I think stops a lot of them getting to the answers that they actually could have. Like, they'll sit there and go, what is music? And they won't accept answers to it. Like, I say music is designated sound. But they say, well, what about birds? What they're singing? And like, yeah, they've designated making those sounds. But talking can be music as well. But if you're not dedicating it to a musical source, then you're just talking. If you're doing it rhythmically, mm-hmm. then it's dedicated. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
But they just want to sit around and go, but what is music?
Yeah, definitely. So the whole EP is a depiction of a fictional couple, Stuart and Carol?
Yeah, that's just the EP from the university. He Doesn't okay. Deserve You and A History of Violence, and I think I Don't Mind, which is the next single to come out, we're all part of the same EP about the dysfunctional couple. And then I didn't release that EP because the songs weren't well mixed and there were some bits that I just needed to change.
Okay.
And then my whole thing of how I was going to release music, because I was just going to dump the EP and then start doing more EPs, but now I'm doing the whole single at a time thing. I'm just sort of releasing the songs and then put them into a compilation album that I'm calling the EP at the end. Yeah,
and one of the songs on that we've already spoke about, and we're going to hear it up soon, is He Doesn't Deserve You. Isn't that a continuation of the fictional relationship?
Yeah, so it's the final part of the story where, like, spoiler alert, but Stuart and Carol... I just use those names, by the way, because they're Kenny's parents in South Park. Then, like, I make it very non-gender specific because it's like 2021, man.
Yeah, you point that out on your website.
Yeah, on my website, I do like to write about how I wrote all the songs, just because I find that stuff interesting. I spend half my life on song facts.
I would agree. I would agree with you. You know, the my favorite album, I have a vinyl collection that grows every day. But my favorite albums are the artists like, for example, The Who. They're inside covers and they're talk about the songs. And it was like a whole other experience on top of hearing the music. So I like, yeah. I like.
Create like a you create like a personal experience for it when you listen to it, and then you find the artist experience. It's two for the price of one, you know?
Well, I honestly, I find what you do, giving a background of what you think, with also saying that everybody can put their own experience to it. You just give a bit more background. It really makes it a personal experience for the listener.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing it as YouTube videos instead, because like no one wants to sit around and read a lot nowadays. We're like instant content. But yeah, the story in He Doesn't Deserve You is Stuart and Carol sort of, they finish. They find, Carol ends it and finds someone else, and Stuart just kind of can't accept it. And this was, I've been ironically obsessed with monomania for quite a while, which it's a theme that runs in a lot of Edgar Allan Poe stories. Like Bernice, there's the teeth the man gets obsessed with, or the crooked eye in the Telltale Heart. I just love the idea someone becomes completely fixated on something, they can't think about anything else. So for Stuart, he's fixated on the broken relationship, like the relationship ending, and he's just not ready to give it up. He wants to like bury himself with her underground, like the original ending of Hunchback of Notre Dame sort of idea. Like he's getting these flashes of, I want to kill this guy that's with her, and then sort of breaks out of the cloud and goes, well, yeah, but I can't. I'm not going to, but I really want to, but I can't. I'm not.
Yeah. It picks it quite well. And it comes from a real world. It comes from your own personal breakup, does it not?
Did I say that? Yeah.
Yeah, you did say that, huh?
Yeah.
You said anything goes if you came on the show. Yeah.
That's fair, but I just don't want to bore people with it. It was a breakup. Everyone goes through a breakup every now and then, and you get all these weird ideas. You have a little bit of a mental breakdown-ish, and then you're fine again, and you realize what an idiot you were for even feeling it. Yeah.
Well, it was outstanding. And honestly, sharing your story makes is a great thing for an artist to do, because transparency is where it's at today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the story's all there.
the whole
song's there. If you listen to it and you feel like it's real, it's because it is, and you're probably going to go through it too at some point.
Yeah, they all do. I've already been through it several times. I'm out for pasture already.
Yeah. You feel stronger for it, right? You got through it.
Oh, or... yeah. Yeah. I think the good times wouldn't be the good times without the bad times. I always believe that.
I would like the opportunity to try anyway.
Yeah.
Just all good times.
Okay, Cor. We're going to listen to He Doesn't Deserve You.
Ooh.
I couldn't kill him. sleep with no sound. Rain beside you, and fill the day, we fill the ground. Cause he'll desert you, he doesn't deserve you. He doesn't deserve to see your face, your misery, your love and hate. He doesn't deserve to see your skin, your violence, your favorite sin. Why is it him standing in your light? Why is it me so cold at night? He doesn't deserve you. 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 But I do. But I do. Follow me in all the shades of green, of jealousy, this helplessly alone in my mind. Form a picture and fall to pieces in all his weakness. Of your kiss, pathetic kiss, I wish that you'd resist. Please cover me in your ecstasy. Please fall on me so heavenly.
Another outstanding track, Cor. And this,
if I do say so
release
myself,
date was, yeah. This was released when?
I wasn't expecting a pop quiz. January 1st. I think I know this one. It's January 1st because that was the first okay. Friday I could find available for it.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, every
I thought it was in Jan. So the you released He Doesn't Deserve You in January and then follows up with A History of Violence in February.
Yeah, which is completely the wrong way around from how the story of the song goes.
You just avant-garde way of introducing. It's your music.
No, just a big Star Wars nerd.
you're not another Star Wars junkie like me.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Our whole family are like that.
You might be offended though, I like the prequels.
Why?
I really like the prequels. I thought Jar Jar Binks was actually a good character. I hated how they relegated his role.
I didn't like the last couple.
Oh no, the sequels were awful.
The sequels were horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know the actual studio, but it was produced by another studio, the last two.
Yeah.
And they just didn't pick up the story properly.
Yeah. I think Disney's working on retconning it right now with stuff like The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's some things that don't work with how the story is. So it's basically going to be like a split timeline as of if Ezra didn't save Ahsoka in the Clone Wars or Rebels, it would get the sequels, which would be the horrible feature, which you could tell are horrible fucking films. And if he does save her, then we get The Mandalorian, which is way better.
Mm-hmm. Well, it happens a lot with sequels, but I wasn't impressed with it.
Yeah.
Wasn't impressed. So tell me about I Can't Sleep. That's your next track.
Yes.
I haven't heard it yet, so it'll be the first time I hear it. I got it just before the show. I'm looking forward to hearing it. So you're on. I'm depending on you to give me some feedback on that song.
Okay. Well, looks like you're a Star Wars fan as well. You're playing the songs backwards. okay, so I Can't Sleep is just... I've never really found it easy to sleep. Like, even as a kid, I'd be awake till like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd just be lying there doing things around my head, and I'd be really edgy, and I couldn't find a way to get to sleep. I'd constantly be caught with like trying to read a magazine to distract my mind for a bit. And I think it's something that I hear from everyone. Everyone says they can't sleep. In a lot of cases, it's like they stay on their phones and or just don't like lie down and try to get to sleep. But like, I'd be laying there for hours in the dark just trying to get to sleep. And
really?
Yeah.
You don't get up and create? Really?
Well, this is when I was a kid. Like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when mom makes you stay in the room.
Yeah. But,
yeah, but, I get that.
But I'm all grown up now. So,
are you sure?
Physically, yeah. I've even got chest hair and everything. It's great.
Oh, wow.
I got carded the other day. That was horrible.
Yeah.
I was standing there with my partner at the checkout, and they carded her. They didn't card me. So, I'm totally going to buy a drink for this 17-year-old.
Yeah.
She's not 17.
No, okay.
Just making that one clear.
No, I know that. I know that, Cork. Cool. I'm probably most creative between 1 and 6 in the morning. So
they are the
I get
hours.
That you don't.
They're the best ones.
Yeah.
Everything's quiet. You're not going to get interrupted by a text from someone or someone coming into your room because everyone's too tired to come talk to you. You can just be let alone, enjoy the peace, and make a shitload of noise and wake up the rest of the house. It's great.
Yeah. Well, but most of mine's writing, but you don't find that you're more creative? That's probably why you couldn't sleep as a child.
Maybe. I don't know. I just had a lot of energy. I was a fat kid. I didn't run a lot, so that might be it. I just had a lot of energy sort of pent up in me.
What did you all of a sudden sprout up and lose the weight?
Sorry. Yes, I did. I've put it back on now, though. I found it again.
Okay. So I Can't Sleep is about your childhood experience or just the experience of insomnia and having.
I think it's everyone's experience with trying to sleep. In my case, I don't like calling it insomnia because it just sounds a bit cliche, but I think everyone has difficulties sleeping every now and then. You get a little post on Facebook of people saying, oh, my brain won't let me sleep, and it's like, yeah, I get it, you're depressed, we all are, get on with your life.
Yeah.
But this is a song to let people know that they're not alone, really, and okay. I don't like getting soppy, so I won't.
Great. I look forward to hearing it. So next up, I Can't Sleep.
Thank you.
Well, another outstanding song that I look forward to the whole EP. Do you know what the next track is going to be? It's going to be a 4-track EP, right?
No, it's going to be about 5 or 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it would be 4. Have the songs been written?
Yeah, two of the songs are written. One, I received the master for yesterday, but we're beefing up the drums a little bit. The other one's sent off and waiting to be mixed.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I almost don't know what to do with myself when they're all out. I just have to keep writing, I guess.
Yeah, once the studios open up again, you're going to get together and pull it all together?
No, I just get them all mixed and mastered and sent off. I've got a home studio, so I just record everything here.
Oh, cool.
If you didn't like my last songs, you'll probably like the next one. If you did like my last songs, you probably won't like the next one. It's very happy. This is like my wild mood swings section of the album. It's called MacGuffin Baby. And it's just about being like wanting to be smothered by someone who doesn't love you as much as you love them. But there's a lot of like BDSM imagery in it, but it's happy as fuck. It's like really, really happy.
Oh, cool.
And then the next one's I Don't Mind, which is just a Still Corners ripoff, because I love Still Corners.
What is that?
Still Corners are a dream pop band.
Oh, okay. The Still Corners. Okay.
If you get a chance, listen to The Trip. It's amazing.
I will. To be honest with you, I haven't heard of the band.
Yeah, they're still kind of small, unless like you're in the know. I mean, they get millions of views on YouTube, but I'm pretty sure it's the same people just re-clicking. And it's just so good.
And where are they located? The UK?
No, America somewhere. But they're coming to the UK. I almost bought tickets from just before COVID, so I'm kind of glad I didn't. Now
I'm definitely gonna look them up. Definitely.
Yeah, I'll send you a message after the show.
Oh, yeah. Love to, because if I love your music, I'm going to love theirs, that's for sure.
Yeah. You'll only like my music after that.
Setting me up for disappointment? That's bad. Okay, so I'm almost afraid to ask this question, but I'm going to anyways. You went into solo performing because, and you felt that there was a great release of that coming from a band. So do you like to collaborate, or do you have any collaborations that you want to do, or is this something you're not willing to get involved with?
Because I've actually quite enjoyed collaborating quite a lot recently. I've actually got another, I forgot completely, I've got another track that I'm doing with Tamara Herbert from the Dead Blood Cells, who have a way bigger following than me. We're doing a sort of song kind of like My Bloody Valentine, called Wants to Know. We're just sort of waiting on the bassist to finish his parts. And I collaborated with people to do a cover of The Pogues' Fairy Tale in New York at Christmas. So, like, I'm open to it. It's just, I don't know if I'm prepared to be in a band if people aren't going to do their parts. I don't want to be the only one doing the work, because then I can just do stuff for me. It sounds really selfish, but, like, you got to look out for yourself. I help other people where I can. Like, I've got my own radio show where I play all my friends' bands and I share music every Wednesday by people I like. But if it's my music career, I want to be in control of it, or with people who can control it with me, not just sort of do nothing, you know?
Yeah, I get that, you know. And if you're with a band where you have to constantly drag the toe and keep them going, all that energy sucks the creative energy out of you.
Yeah, it's like those group projects at school where one person was doing all the works.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to be part of. I want to be part of the group that works together. Everyone's sending emails, everyone's doing their parts, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't think that's too much to ask.
No, I get that, but there's always like that. I remember in high school, I'd be like working my butt off. The group would get 97, but I did most of the work.
Yeah, exactly. You know exactly how I feel on this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it bothered me. It bothered me. And sometimes I was the one that delayed. If it was another project, that was English. If it was another project I wasn't interested in, yeah, it's hard when you get a group together to have everybody contribute equally. But when it does happen, it's magic, especially when it comes to music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 97 is quite impressive to get by yourself as well in the group work. So well done you. Just does kind of prove that work is getting way too easy nowadays.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes. So where would you prefer bands to hook up with you? I mean, sorry.
In my bedroom.
I knew if I asked that question, I'd get something. That's why I thought I'd reframe it.
Yeah. Okay. I had to get it in. I could hear you getting ready to change the question. I'm not letting that pass.
Oh my God, I'm losing it. Okay.
I'm going to disturb the bird.
Okay. I'm going to say, man, oh God, you're funny.
No, go on, please ask the question again.
Okay. What social channel do you hang out more often? Like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Right. You mean, okay, cool. So best way to ever reach me and see what I'm doing is Facebook, because I'm a terrible person and I still use Facebook. But I'm on pretty much everything. You can find me on Spotify. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram. I've even got a TikTok, which I also hate myself for.
You're on TikTok? But
yeah, well, I'm only really posting the promos. I don't think I'm funny enough to make actual videos.
Yeah, that's yeah. No, I've went on it for a bit, and I it didn't speak to me. But if I were putting out music, yeah, I could be on TikTok and release a bit of a video clip. Why not? Yeah,
I was only convinced because I found out Bowie's stuff is on there, so I thought, like, good enough for him, might as well do it. But if you want to see what anything that I'm doing, the best place really is Facebook. It's the only thing I can ever be bothered to go on. I can't stand social media.
Okay, cool.
And I also have a podcast on Spotify called Calls in Trouble.
Okay, so tell us a bit about that. I forgot to mention that. That's great. So you have a podcast, and what is it about?
It just started basically at the start of COVID. I was meant to do a gig. I was going to get paid £200 for it, and I was like, that's amazing, cool. I had to practice 2 hours worth of music. I was like, yeah, great. And then COVID was being talked about, and the people I was staying with were like, you're not going to be able to go to this gig, because if you get COVID and bring them back to the house, it's going to be bad. I was really upset at the time, but I'm actually really glad that they did it now. Didn't realize how bad it was going to be.
Yeah.
But the guy who organized the gig, he kept me on Facebook, and he found a lot of the stuff that I was saying quite funny. And he was like, do you want to host a radio show? And I was like, no, I really don't. It sounds like a lot of effort. And he kept asking me, and eventually he caught me while I was drunk. And I was like, yeah, go on then. So now every Tuesday, 8 till 10 p.m. GMT, I interview a couple of bands, get drunk while I'm doing it, talk to them about conspiracy theories, play some of my favorite music that I find on Spotify, and then save it as a podcast on Spotify.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to be sure to follow it.
Okay.
No, I will.
No, it's not that I don't believe you. I just feel sorry for you now.
No, I look forward to hearing it. I look forward to listening to it. I love your sense of humor, so I'll be laughing. You'll hear me in the background.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's mildly amusing, if I do say so myself.
That's cool.
It's very informal.
Good. And we'll know that you're drunk on the podcast, so we'll give you a bit of leeway, right?
I make no lies about that. I open it saying, welcome to my Tuesday night reason to drink. It's good. I go through like a bottle of wine each episode. It just helps. It's nice, you know, just to kick back, relax, and play some music to some strangers.
Yeah, well, it's 8 o'clock your time, so why not? That's a perfectly acceptable time to open up a bottle of wine.
<Is it? laughs> I'm from Essex. We start. Our saying is it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, that's cool. That'll get a lot of people knowing when to tune in. Anyway, I really had fun, Cor. You're an awesome guest. I love your music.
Great. Maybe I can have you on the podcast at some point.
I would. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
We'll swap seats.
Yeah, I'll do it in a heartbeat. Anything to support you. And it's the podcast sounds fun, so I'd love to do it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll message you afterwards. We'll start our date.
Okay. Yeah, we keep in touch.
It's a date.
Thanks, Cor. Have a great evening.
You too, my love.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Next episode, soulful folk singer Colby Knickerbocker joins us from Bend, Oregon, United States. We feature several tracks from his new album, Over and Over, releasing April the 2nd. So catch you at the pod, April the 5th, On Air Indie, from my pad to yours over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.